In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
First, to just congratulate you on the feast of Archangel Michael, Qulisanat Tayyibin. It's a great blessing to have that as well with us. So in the spirit of the Olympics, which were just over a few days ago, I hope you're ready today to do some training, because that's all we're going to do today. We're going to do some weight training. I don't know, maybe you missed the email. You don't look ready to train. You're all dressed in normal clothes, but that's okay. Take showers when you get home. So we're going to do some training, like I said, and as soon as the Olympics are over, the first thing they do again is they train for the next Olympics and stuff. So we're going to do some training. I hope you're ready for it today, and we'll go through it. Why are we needing weight training? We need it because we do a lot of waiting. We wait in traffic. We wait in lineups. In grocery stores, and maybe that last person in the picture maybe waited a little bit too long. And we also wait in restaurants, drive-thrus. We wait. We also wait for important things as well. We wait not knowing what university am I going to get into? What program am I going to go into? What career am I going to have? I wait for a job. Maybe I got laid off. Maybe I just graduated and I'm looking for a job, I'm looking for a career. I wait for a job. And of course, the famous waiting of Mr. Right and Mrs. Right. So there's waiting, we wait all the time. What's the problem with that? What's the problem with that? The problem with that is society teaches us about instant response. Have things immediately. We have microwaves, we can make 80% of our meals in under a minute. We can have nice hot meals. Within 5 minutes, I can probably make 3-course meals instantly. As soon as solves your immediate gratification. This has taken us to an extreme level. This is incredible over the last 4 or 5 years with the iPhone. I can have anything, anywhere, anytime. I want to book a flight, I book a flight. I want to make reservations, I want to make reservations. I want to find out the weather in Beijing, I can find the weather in Beijing. On my fingertips, immediately. It wasn't too long ago. Remember this thing? Probably none of you remember. It wasn't even that long ago. Maybe in the mid-2000s. We're not talking in the 1900s, in 1990s. Remember that thing where we actually had to dial up for internet? And it dials and it has that little funny sound, and somebody's trying to call you and say, oh, sorry, your house is busy, I was on the internet. And now we have this iPhone. We have instant diet. I want to lose 50 pounds by next week. We have, you know, immediate diets. Same thing with getting rich. You want to get $1 million within 1 year? There's get rich immediately. We're losing our patience because we expect instant response. I want to contact my friend. I send them an email. He doesn't respond within 5 seconds. What do? I send him a text. He doesn't respond to the text. I BBM. And then I call him. He doesn't answer. What do? I call his friend. Is my friend over there waiting? I can't wait for my response. That's a problem. That's a problem. Whoever was here yesterday when Dr. Ahmed was speaking was talking about the survival of the fittest, or the strong survive. That's the world saying. He was talking about, no, it's the poor and the weak. And same with today. Society has trained us, mastered us, that we have to have immediate gratification, immediate response. But no, just like yesterday, it's the opposite. Today is the opposite as well. Why? Because there's a problem. I am in a hurry. And me specifically too. I'm always in a hurry. I want things now and I want things right away. God does not work that way. God is not in a hurry. God is not in a hurry. He has His timetable, His plan, His timing. I'll give you an example of what I mean, and we're going to take one example early, and then the rest of the examples of some people later on in the talk. Let's talk about mankind. Mankind. Mankind, throughout the whole entire Bible, talks about a Savior, the Messiah. When's the Messiah coming? When's He going to come? And then for a period of 400 years, between prophets, between Malachi and St. John the Baptist, silence. Silence. Heavens was silence. 400 years we're waiting. Actually, to be honest, we've been waiting more than 400 years before that. Maybe more than 5,000 years, if you go back to Adam. Like, couldn't, like, one of Adam and Eve's kids, couldn't that just been of St. Mary? And, like, let's get on with it. Let's get on with salvation. And why do we have to wait more than 5,000 years? That's not how God works. That's not how God works. Why? Because look at what the waiting produced. Let's see what the waiting produced. And old God is over there. It produced the ever-virgin, St. Mary. And we'll see some things quickly about her. But we want to focus on the main theme today, which is our training. Don't forget, hopefully you've stretched a little bit, you know. So, St. Mary, of course, is the Mother of God. St. Mary, Abuna Barsoom told us a couple of days ago, is not the Mother of God, it's the Mother of all. She's our Lady, our Mother as well. St. Mary, as we know, is the highest of ranks, above the cherubim and the seraphim. St. Mary is found all over Orthodox, and especially, and all over the Orthodox liturgies, all over Orthodox worship, and of course Coptic worship as well, in the liturgy, in praises, midnight praises, and venerations, Temgid, which what we did about a half hour ago, in hymns, which we just did right now, and even in the Egbeia. As we know, in the litanies, we also we have a litany asking for intercessions as every third one, or if there's six, every third and sixth one. So she is very, as St. Luke said, or in St. Luke's Gospel, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. So we're following those instructions, which is what she said. Just to give you an example, why did we wait? Look at mankind. Why did we wait so long? Look at the answer from a meditation from the Wednesday Theotokia. The Wednesday Theotokia said, the Father looked from heaven. He looked from heaven and found no one like you. That's why. That's why we waited 400 years of silence between prophets. That's why we waited over 5,000 years between when God created man. Because He found no one like St. Mary. He sent His only begotten who came and took flesh from you. See the result of the waiting. That's what we want. That's what we want. We want St. Mary's. We want this, the highest of ranks. We want the best. Why? Because God wants the best for us. The best for mankind was our Lord to be born of this magnificent woman. As an aside, if you want to learn anything, this has nothing to do with the talk, but if you want to learn a lot of things about the Virgin and a lot of good meditations, probably things you haven't heard or read, pray the Theotokias. They're great. There's one for every single day, and they teach you without even knowing that you're being taught. It's a trick. It's a trick from our forefathers. It's not a trick. It's not a genius. It's the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. It's the way that, of course, people didn't read. So when they sing, all of a sudden, you just learn. Sometimes I ask, where did I don't even remember where I learned these things, and I find them, oh yeah, this is where I got it from. So it's a way, it's a very good way for learning. So, here's your rest, because now we start. Okay, so hopefully you're stretched, hopefully you're ready, because we're going to start the training now. We're going to start with two beautiful verses from the Psalms. Today we're going to talk about the Psalms, a lot of waiting, a lot of verses on waiting from the Psalms. One of the best ones is Psalm 27:14. It says, "Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen you in your heart. Wait, I say, unto the Lord." Wait. Why? Because he will strengthen your heart. This is one of the morning psalms. So you can see also the wisdom in preparing the Igbeya for us, in that it is said first thing. It reminds us, wait. Like, it just gives us a reminder. If we were anxious, if we were eager, wait. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Isaiah in 40:31 also says a very nice one. I said this very similar message. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. That's strength. That's part of the results of the weight training. Why do we train? To get strong. Why do we have this weight training? To get strong. So that's what our goal is tonight, is to be strong. Is waiting active or passive? Is waiting active or passive? Which one? Is waiting like you're waiting for a bus and you're just waiting like on God? La-di-da-di-da. Wait. You wait for the bus. Do nothing. Just wait. I can't speed up the bus. Wait. Is that the waiting you think that the Bible and these Psalms have been teaching? Waiting is seeking. Waiting is actually harder. It's working. Waiting on the Lord is harder than acting and working. Right? If you can imagine, like we get, like we said, we want instant response. So we ask God, I'm waiting for a job. I'm waiting for this. And when I wait, we said it's active. But if I lose patience, I just act. It's very easy to just, okay, I'll just do this. I waited, you know, one day. God didn't answer. I move. It's very easy to do that. It's very hard to wait. To wait on the Lord. That's why we need training. Situations that don't help us in waiting. Okay? We wait. Let's take the example. Just take one example and we'll cover some of those situations. Let's take the example of waiting for a spouse. Okay? I'm waiting for a husband. Waiting for a wife. Okay? So I wait, I pray, and I say, God, I pray for this, and I wait. What happens? I start to get scared. Oh my goodness. I'm 22. I'm too old. I'm getting fat. I'm scared. And I start to get all afraid. I push the panic button. And there goes my waiting. I start acting because I'm scared. Another situation that doesn't help in the waiting is maybe my enemies. Okay? Maybe I don't have the best of friends. Maybe Satan himself. And he'll start saying, why are you waiting? Why you going to find a Coptic person? Just marry any person, not Christian. Just marry anything. Why are you waiting? And he'll start putting doubts. He'll start putting, like, why are you waiting? He's just like, just going to start asking you questions. Stop waiting. You're not going to find anybody. Just, it's okay. Find anybody and then just change them later. Problems happen. So now I'm waiting and maybe something happens in my life. Problems happen and I start blaming, oh, it's because of this. Oh, it's because I don't have a husband. Oh, it's because I don't have a wife. Oh, it's because I don't have a job. Problems. I stop waiting. I change the plans. And I start going my agenda. Or I feel forsaken. God forgot. You know, God has 7 billion people to take care of. He forgot about me. You know, I asked and I waited. But God forgot. It's okay. Annie, fawit. Forget it. Marish. Maybe God will, you know, he's just too busy doing other things. So you feel forsaken. And I push the panic button. So we're going to talk about 4 ways. So those are the things that don't help me wait. What do I do when I wait? And if you don't know the answer to the question, is waiting passive or active? I hope you're starting to see it. It is active. When we wait for the Lord, it's not like waiting for a bus. It's not like just waiting and just seeing, you know, the paint dry off the walls, and I'm just going to sit there until they dry. So it's active. And I have to do four things. Four things. Number one, I wait prayerfully. I wait prayerfully. So I don't remember, I don't know if you remember, every amusement park, okay, whether you go to La Ronde in Montreal or Wonderland or the X in Ottawa, they all have the famous House of Mirrors. House of Mirrors. I'll give you an example of how we wait prayerfully. We said waiting is like seeking. Waiting is like seeking. So what does House of Mirrors got to do with prayers? Okay? So when you wait, it's like that house of prayer, House of Mirrors. If you're not familiar with it, it's you go into like a maze, and you go and there's a whole bunch of mirrors, and you have to get in and then get out, and with trying to find open doors. So, or not doors, but open spaces. But of course, they all look like mirrors, so you don't know where to go. So I have two choices. There's two types of kids when you go to those, right? You've seen them. One kid, just sit there, and he cries, "Mommy, I don't know how to get out. Mommy, help me." And I just sit there. I do nothing. Passive. Passive. There's the other kind of kid who looks, and he gets into mirror. He bangs into the mirror. Oh, not the right. I bang into another. Oh, here's an open space. See? He's seeking. He's seeking. Okay? Practically, let's say, take the university. Well, am I going to go to University of Ottawa or Carleton? Am I going to go to Montreal? Am I going to go to McGill or University? I don't know. So maybe I call and I seek and I apply. And I try. I try this and I try this and I try this. Right? I'm active. I don't just say, "Oh God, give me a university. Let them barge into my doors and beg me to come to the other university." That's passive. See the difference between passive and active waiting? A beautiful verse, and guess what? In the prime as well. First hour prayer. First hour, one of the first hour psalms. "Lord, show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your path." That's prayer. That's waiting prayerfully. That's like you say this. Imagine if you say this. Let's not imagine. Why don't we say this? Why don't we take that as a practice? Why don't we say this prayer? Look how short it is. "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Show me your ways. Teach me your path." Every day, before leaving the house. Every day. Which is why, again, it's in the morning Agbeya. "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path." For everything. And not only just for waiting, for anything. "Show me your ways, O Lord." And so you pray this, and you ask for this. So that's where the obey the new commandments. The obey new commandments is you pray, and maybe things have changed. Oh, I got this mirror. Okay, next. What do I do next? I go through, and you wait for maybe new commandments. That's how God works. God doesn't tell you maybe his whole entire plan from you till 80 in one shot. One step at a time. So I wait and I get a new command. And I go and I move forward. I wait and I go. I wait and I go. For example, look at this waiting. Look at the result of this waiting. We know the famous Acts 2. Acts 2 is the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the holy disciples and blessed apostles. So what are they doing in Acts 1? If it came in Acts 2, what are they doing in Acts 1? Guess what? Waiting. I'm not saying this. Look what it says, Acts 1:4. "He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." We all know it's 10 days. Okay? We know it was from day 40 to day 50. We know that. They didn't know. Well, what do you mean, God, wait? Like you were with us 40 days. You taught us everything. You taught us liturgy. You taught us, how to preach. We're ready. Let's go. Wait. Why wait? Because it's not time yet. I say when, and he says, well, of course, they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. The promise. The promise is the Holy Spirit. As we read in the from John 13 to 17. So I wait prayerfully. Guess what? even harder. If you thought prayerfully was hard, again, this is training. The whole thing is training. You're not going to leave here experts, right? People who start training for Olympics, they don't train for one day and they're ready for the Olympics. So the goal is to try these four things, I won't say for 4 years, maybe 40 years, all the time. So we wait prayerfully. Number two, we wait patiently. We wait patiently, okay? We, again, want instant response. God, give me patience. Give it to me now. Even patience, we give it to me now. Like, what, that's a good thing, God. You asked, you said, ask and you will be given. Right? I'm asking, give it to me. Give me patience and give me now. That's not how it works. Psalm again. As you can see, many things in the psalm. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Rest in the Lord. So trust in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. Why? Because God has to work. Okay? God has to do His stuff. What's the stuff? Let's imagine as a parallel. Okay? Like, I'm ready to eat. Okay? God, throw me the food. Give me the food. Wait. Wait for what? I have a table. Give me the food. Well, if He answers you right away, well, you're going to have soup all over the table. You have your mashed potatoes everywhere, and it's all contaminated, whatever, and that's your meal. If you want it and you ask for it right away, God said, wait, I want to put a nice, like, mafrash, tablecloth. I want to put a tablecloth for you. Okay, give me the food now. No, I'm not ready yet. You need a plate. Give me a bowl. Give me a fork. Give me a knife. See, God is doing that stuff. We want, just give me the food. Just throw it onto the table. The table's not ready. There's nothing to use. Like, it's not good for you. It's not ready for you. God is setting the table of your life. God is setting the table of your life. That's what He's doing. So, we are just wanting right away, but God is working in the background. We don't see Him. We don't see Him. There's another beautiful verse in Corinthians. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's what we have to do. We have to not like just look at our eyes to see what we're doing. We have to believe, and not only believe, we know that God is working, which is why we need to wait. Because He's doing the stuff to get it ready. What's the stuff? Depends on your situation. There's a great story in the whole book. The whole book of Esther is a beautiful example of this. Esther is I won't talk about obviously the whole book, but one small part. Esther, of course, was a queen. This was a time in captivity, and although it's not obvious, God is very much working in the whole entire book of Esther. There was a guy, her uncle, whose name is Mordecai. Long time ago, they revealed a plot. He found out that there were some people that wanted to kill the king. So, of course, as a good person of that country, he exposed the plot, and of course, he saved the king. And back then, they wrote his name and they said, "Mordecai, on this date, save the king." The king didn't know it. They just wrote it. They just wrote it. See how God works, okay? So, years and years after, there was a situation, and again, we won't go through the whole story, but a situation where they're going to annihilate all the Jews, period. God's people, right? The God whom David, and of course Christ was going to come, was in jeopardy of being annihilated. Jeopardy? Of course not. God promised that Christ would come from David. And of course, He's going to be working in the background. So the day before, a great event was happening, which was a banquet. The king can't sleep. Coincidence? Absolutely not. The Lord made him have insomnia that night. What does he read? He reads his chronicles. And he reads, and, oh, Mordecai saved my life. What did we do for him? What did we do about this guy? And he asked his people, what did we do about this Mordecai? Nothing. We have to honor him. He saved my life. So the day that they were going to start the plan and everything to kill all the Jews became 180 degrees opposite. And what did they do? They not kill the Jews, they honored and glorified Mordecai and found out a whole bunch of other stuff and changed everything. You see what God was doing in the, like, just a little incident many, many years ago saved the plan, you know. Of course, it wasn't in jeopardy, but you see how God is working in the background, setting things up for His people. So we wait patiently because He works in the background. Number three. We wait expectantly. So we wait prayerfully. House of Mirrors. We wait patiently. Let Him do the table. And we wait expectantly. What does that mean? My soul, Psalms again, okay? My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. My expectation is from the Lord. So what do? I don't do anything. St. Paul says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. We shall reap. But it says continue to do good. In other words, like, if Abuna comes and asks you, look, we need help, you know, in the summer camp. Oh, God, Abuna, no, I'm waiting on God. We need help in the kitchen downstairs. No, I'm waiting on God. I've asked God to help me with my husband, and I can't. I can't do anything. I'm waiting on God. He said, no. Let us not grow dear while doing good. Continue your service. We don't stop our lives. We don't stop our service. We don't stop life. Because I'm waiting on God. I continue to serve. I continue to work. I continue to be a father, a husband. Everything. And the two that we want to focus on. Why? I wait expectantly. Because He will ever be mindful of His covenant. Okay? And the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. So He's ever mindful of His covenant, His promise. We need to know what His promises are. We need to see what He does so that we can call on His promises and then He can help us. I'll share a story with you in terms of how the promise can become, you know, how if we wait on His promise and know His promise, it could change our lives. A few years ago, we had a youth trip down to Washington, D.C. It's first time there. And we went for 4 days and three nights. We left on a Friday, and we got there at 7:45. And I'll tell you why the timing of 7:45 is important. We got there Friday evening, 7:45, at the hotel. We are four vans of seven, 28 people. 28 people, 7:45, after a long day. Nobody ate yet. Nobody ate supper. So why is 7:45 important? Number one reason is because I had to tolerate 28 hungry youth. Okay? I'd rather be with Daniel in the lion's den than we would be with 28 youth that were hungry. So that's the first thing. 7:45 was also this change of shift for the people at the hotel. So we got there and say, yes, hello, we're here to check in, 28 people, you know. And so 28 people, it's seven rooms of four, seven times four. And thank God, the guys-girl combination worked out beautiful, which is great. So seven times four, 28, seven rooms. We said, okay, we're ready, and we're 28. And says, I got your seven rooms, but there's two beds. There's one king in the room, or a double or a queen. But like, no, we have 28. And we said, well, one of the rooms is, you know, two double beds. So you do the math. Six rooms times two, 12. One room times four. 12 plus four, 16. How many are we? 28. For three nights. In a place we've never been. So, what do we do? This was in May. In March, the youth, the high school people had a great retreat about Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 is, of course, one of the best verses in the Bible. And we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who walk according to His purpose. So they had a good retreat, and it was only 2 months ago, so I remember this verse. So my first reaction is, like, what do you mean? We're 28, and yell and scream. But I don't know how, but God put this verse, because it was only maybe 2 months ago, and it was a good retreat. I said, okay, all things work together for good. All things work to good for those who love God. I said, okay, God, all things work together. Here you go. This is your promise. Remember, we're trying to see His promises. This is your promise. What are you going to do? I said, what are you going to do? We have 28. What are we going to do? So they came and they said, you know, of course, they talk and the manager and whatever. And the person was supposed to leave her work at 7:30. Thank God. So again, that's one of these Mordecai things. 7:45, she's still there and she's working. She's behind. And maybe if we got the night person, the night people, like, don't care, right? We got the day person, and maybe it's like a real employee versus like just a summer person. She cared. And to me, this person was an angel. So you talk, and, you know, 10, 15 minutes goes by. 28 hungry youth. Okay, I remember that. So he comes back and say, okay, Mr. McHale, we have a solution for you. Said, okay, you know, I said, okay, maybe they'll find us something, and that's it. This is where Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Watch this, what they do. He said, okay, we found another hotel 10 minutes away. It's like, great, fantastic. Oh, and you could stay there 2 nights and then come back here. Sure, no problem. And the 2 nights that you're there, free. For like a room? No, all of you. Free? Free. Oh, and this place has breakfast. Breakfast for all, free for all. And when you come back to us on Monday night, we'll give you a discounted rate on your stay. All this, I'm not saying anything, like, He is great. He is the one that honors His promises. He is the one that did miracles. He is the one that aligned this person to stay and to care about us. But if we know His promises, the key is to know His promises. Know His word. Memorize His promises. Use His promises. So we need to go and make sure we bookmark these promises in our lives. So when we hear them, we can use them. Because God is ever mindful of His covenant. Because God is not slack concerning His promise. That's His promise. So wait expectantly. Wait expectantly. Use His promises to help you in your waiting. The last one. The last one is wait trustingly. I don't know if that's a word. Today it's a word, because everything has to end with Lee. So wait trustingly. Okay? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Okay? We were in Virgin Mary's fast. Of course, she said something very similar. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is it impossible for Him to find me a husband, a wife, a job, a career? Is it impossible that my son or daughter who has left the church to come back? Is it impossible? Do I stop waiting? Do I push that panic button? Or is God, do I wait trustingly? We have to know that His ways are different than ours. His ways are higher. We are limited. We see just like two dimension. He sees from the time of Adam to the second coming. We don't understand that aspect. That's what He sees compared to what I see. There's a verse that came this week, actually, just some of my readings. And it really stuck out, and I liked it. It's in Daniel again. And it was was about a king who was very, obviously, very, very pompous. And he said, you praise gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. But look at the next part. The God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, he shall be glorified. That's what Daniel said to him. This is the one, this is the king that, this is the king that he interpreted the dream of the finger with that writing of the wall, like mena mena tekel something. That one, that dream is what he interpreted. And he interpreted and he said that this is going to happen. The God who holds your breath. This is the king. This is the king of the Medes and Persians. King of Medes and Persians at the time is like the king of the world. Because the Medes and Persians defeated the Babylonians, right? That they were the world power. This is the king of the world. And it's in God's, his breath is in God's hand. And that night, he died. No king, the king of the world, is nothing compared to God. So, we wait trustingly. We'll take a couple of examples, and because of time, we'll just go maybe one or two examples only. And just to see the result of the waiting, and we'll conclude. Okay? Or maybe we could just mention what happened with them waiting, as we are tight on time. Abraham, for example. Abraham waited how long? 25 years. 25 years after the promise. I will give you a son. Okay, great. Year 1, year 2, year 10, right? I wait. And he waited 25 years for Isaac. Isaac means laughter, joy. Okay? And we see in his life, he took control in his own hands and married Hagar. And he got Ishmael. Ishmael is the father of Islam. See what happened? When we act according to not waiting on God's promise. He promised. Remember, we said about promises. They're gold. He is ever mindful of his covenant. But he waited. He acted on his own. And the result. But when he waited, then of course, he waited and he waited till finally he got Isaac. Moses waited 40 years. He started his career with God when he was 80. How many people start something when they're 80? 80. He waited 40 years to prepare him. Maybe prepare everything. Okay? David. He was anointed. How long did he wait till he became king of all of Israel? 17 years. But he was anointed. Samuel came and he anointed and they were like, you know, and he beat Goliath and he did everything. 17 years. 17 years. We talked about St. Mary, mankind waiting. Simeon. Simeon was one of the 70 elders, right? A great story in Simeon. One of the great elders who translated from Hebrew to Greek. And he could not believe, or he thought there was an error, a virgin shall conceive and give birth. No, it's a woman. He said, no, it's a virgin. And he waited 200 years, and what was his reward? Held the Lord of hosts. The Lord of Sabaoth. The Lord himself in his hands. Right? What Abuna does in the liturgy. Holds him in his hands. Goes around the altar. We talked about the apostles waiting for the Holy Spirit. St. Monica, who waited crying 17 years. Talk about patience. What does she get? A saint. A saint. Augustine. A saint who wrote books. A theologian. Right? Wrote the Confessions and very, very famous in the Orthodox Church. So it's up to you. It's up to you if you want to wait. We can see the results of those who waited in the slide before. Do I want cake batter? Just give it to me right now. Or do I want a nice strawberry shortcake? I admit I like batter, okay? And I get to the batter before, you know, Nick and Alex and what, I love batter. But like I can't have a bowl of batter and I'll take the cake any day. So you want to wait or do you want the batter? You want the cake or the batter? That's enough. 1 month pregnant, it's enough. I can't handle it anymore. 3 months, it's enough. Give me the baby now. Give you now, it's not ready. It's going to be lots of problems. No, I want it now. I can't take it anymore. 5 months. It's not now. It's 9 months. 9 months, you get a miracle. The miracle of life. So wait. We wait. It's up to us. When we wait, we saw from these two things. So how do we wait? Remember? Number one, we wait prayerfully. House of Mirrors. Seekingly. We wait patiently. Patiently. We wait expectantly, calling on God's promises. We wait trustingly because it is He who has even the king's breath in His mouth. It is Him who, with Him, nothing is impossible. So, my friends, your training is over now. I hope like you've exercised and at the end of the training, we come back and we said, what's the results? Go back to our two key verses. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. So, congratulations. You went from your training, so you're nice and strong. And I hope that we can take these ways to wait on the Lord, and we see all the results of waiting on the Lord. And glory be to God forever and ever.